Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right there in Madison and North Florida, where WMAF is your hometown radio station. Family friendly, amen. You don't have to turn the channel or turn the volume down when your kids come in. Listen, God is such a great God today. He's a good God, a gracious God, and I want you to hear more than just what I have to say. Amen. I want to speak as an oracle of God today in the sense that I want to read from the Bible, God's book, God's inspired word. Amen. I want to bring you something that I believe that God is speaking to His people and to those who will listen. Folks, if you're not a Christian and you're listening to this broadcast, don't turn the channel, amen, for a little while. Stay right here on WMAF and stay with us in this study of the Word of God. There is a sense in the whole world when people stop for just a little while from the hustle and bustle and the running to and fro, the responsibilities, demands of living in a very fast paced high-tech world, which in many ways has made us more comfortable, but in some ways has kept us from stopping long enough to think about eternal things instead of just the day-to-day immediate demands of life. We are headed toward eternity. Every person under the sound of my voice is headed toward eternity. And the great question is not if we're going to perish one day should Jesus tarry, but where we're going to spend eternity when this life is over. The question isn't, amen, whether or not Jesus is ever going to return. He's going to return. The question is, will you be ready when that day comes? The question isn't whether there's or not there's going to be a great tribulation, a time upon the earth called the time of Jacob's trouble, the day of the Lord. It is going to happen. Everything that God said in His Word would come to pass so far has come to pass exactly like He said it. And everything that He said is future to come to pass will come to pass. God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. The Scriptures declare, hath He not said it, and will He not do it? The question is, are we ready for His coming? Are we ready to stand before Him, amen, and give an account for ourselves? And can we do that because of our good works? And the answer is a resonant no. We can only do it by being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, confessing our sin and having His finished work at Calvary applied to our lives. So you just stay tuned with us today. We don't want to go to heaven and leave anybody behind. I love the attitude of the United States Marine Corps. One of their great principles that they live by and fight by and die by is that they will never leave a man behind. They are not going to run in panic from the enemy and leave a wounded Marine on the battlefield. They're going to get him. They're going to drag him. They're going to carry him. They're not going to leave him out there by himself. As long as there's someone alive that can reach out and take a hold of him. And friend of mine, that's what we want to do today. Amen. We want the Holy Spirit. We can't do it. If we could do it, we would do it. But we can't. Only the Spirit of God can do it. But we want to reach out and grab a hold of everyone that has sin's deadly wound inflicted upon them. Amen. And tell them that we want you to go to heaven with us. And there is an antidote for that deadly wound, the blood of Jesus Christ, the grace and forgiveness of God that is granted as a result of it. So we're just excited about telling people about Jesus, and we're excited about stirring faith within those who already know Him. And that brings us to our continuing subject this week. Hold On Just a Little While Longer is the title. And what this is all about is how to stand firm in the faith in the dark and dangerous days that precede Christ's coming. Dark and dangerous, perilous times, outrageous, dangerous times mark the end times. Dark in the sense of men's hearts failing them for fear and looking at things which are coming upon the earth. This is beginning to occur already. Distress of nations with perplexity, Jesus said. That means that there are problems that seem insurmountable and unsolvable, and they continue to remind us that man, in and of himself, cannot resolve the issues of a fallen world. Only Jesus Christ can do that. So the scripture that is our foundational scripture for this teaching is Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 8, where Jesus declares, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Or literally translated, persistence in faith, perseverance in the faith. I'm going to read once again from Darby's synopsis of the New Testament. This verse is part of Christ's prophetic warning with respect to the last days. Part of Christ's prophetic warning in respect to the last days. All right, this is what we've covered so far in review. And that is that not only must we recognize that this world is not our home, and not only must we remember that Jesus will come for us, He actually is coming again, but we must also realize that we will be eternally transformed. We will be, on that day when He comes, eternally transformed. Amen. We're not just going to get translated out of this world and transferred to heaven. We're going to be eternally transformed. Praise God. Amen. The scripture says in Philippians 3 and verse 20, I'm going to read from the NIV. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Praise God. This transformation, friend, has already begun. When we came to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the process of transformation that we call salvation started. It started internally, and one day it will be completed when our physical bodies are transformed. See, our bodies, the way they are now, are not fit for heaven. They are mortal. That means they grow old, and somebody out there ought to say, "Tell me about it." Amen. And they wear out. They suffer pain. And they get sick. One day, they will quit functioning. It's going to happen. It's appointed unto man, the scripture says, once to die. But after that, the judgment. In order to enjoy heaven, we're going to need new bodies. We'll need eternal bodies. We'll need immortal bodies. And that is just what we will receive. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul tells us that our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In other words, in a millisecond. We will exchange this temporary earthly body for a glorious eternal body that will be perfect and immortal. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. He said, "I declare unto you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Hallelujah. "For the perishable must close itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and mortal with immortality, then shall that is written come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, what a day that is going to be. Not only are we going to be transferred from this earth to heaven, but we're going to be transformed. And the body that comes up with the Lord, comes out of the grave when the trump sounds, that body is going to be fashioned like His glorious body. Praise God. There we will have new bodies that will never get sick. Our bodies will never experience pain again, and we will never grow old, and we will never die. Praise God. I remember that old camp meeting hymn or hymn of the faith, whether it was used at camp meetings or not, I don't remember, but I remember my daddy. He passed away at 93 years old. He used to sing it. Never grow old, never grow old, in a land where we'll never grow old. Ah, what a thought. What hope. You know, you've been listening to Christian music right here on WMAF, classic gospel songs. And in those songs is an embodiment of the hope and the faith that knowing Christ gives us. Death has been conquered at Calvary for those that put their trust in Jesus Christ. Right now, I'm growing older. And regardless of your age, where you are growing older too. And as I grow older, how precious these promises become to me as I realize that this body is mortal. This body is corruptible. I live in a faulty body, and I live in a fallen world, but I've got a faithful Heavenly Father. Praise God. Amen. The bodies that will never get sick, bodies that will never grow old, never experience pain again, and never die. We will live forever in this body that has been transformed. Are you excited about this? I am. This is something that you ought to be excited about. The transformation that began with the new birth will be completed when we receive our new body. We're going to be eternally transformed. Praise God. I watched my dad age, and I watched all of the aging issues come to him, especially after he started pushing 90. Amen. Amen. For years, he did just fine, and then so many things begin to occur to say that this body, as we know it, is deteriorating. I've used this at funerals many times, that John Quincy Adams, who believed exactly that bodies will be transformed, that there is life beyond the grave, and not just life, but life with God, where nothing can ever hurt or harm us again. When he was 85 years old, he was having a lot of physical issues, and the realization that he was going to look for this new body, this new eternal life, because of faith in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Someone asked him, "How is it with John Quincy Adams?" And he answered, "John Quincy Adams is quite well, thank you. But the house he lived in is dilapidated. Time and seasons have took their toll upon it. I shall have to be moving out soon." He actually said, "It's becoming quite uninhabitable. I shall have to be moving out soon." But John Quincy Adams is quite well, thank you. That is the hope of glory and the hope of heaven. Amen. It is not wishful thinking. It is the absolute truth according to the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said if God raised up Jesus, He's going to raise us up with Him. Praise the Lord. For the trump of God is going to sound according to 1 Thessalonians 4. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And we which are living and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever. So shall we ever. Praise God, be with the Lord. So we need to realize right here, right now, that we will be eternally transformed on that day. And we need to respond to that great truth. by standing firm in our hope in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, my dear friends." Recognize that this world is not your home. Remember that Jesus will come for you, and realize that you will be eternally transformed. And finally, respond by standing firm in your hope in Jesus Christ. In light of what's in store for us, we should stand firm in Christ. You see, this world is not all there is. There's so much more. The people who put their hope in what this world can offer are always, without exception, disappointed. You could become the wealthiest person on earth and still not be satisfied. So many who have great wealth are empty on the inside. They're void of the hope that Jesus Christ can give us, that God's Word offers us. See, money doesn't satisfy the deepest need you have. Possessions do not satisfy the most pressing needs that you have. This world will never fill up the empty place that you have in your heart. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And not only by the hope of heaven, but the help that He gives you here and now, and the fulfillment when God takes up His rightful place in your life, in your heart. I like what Billy Graham said, quoting someone else who I don't even know who said it first, but he said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, and only God can fill that place up with Himself." See, God, our Creator, wants to be now God, our Savior. In this life, we experience both good and bad. We experience pain, suffering, struggles, trials, temptations, and certainly tragedies. There are times when we find ourselves in difficult places and we don't know where to turn. If all we have is what this world has to offer, we will begin to despair. We need a focus beyond this world. We need a hope that is strong enough to carry us through those times. A hope that is strong enough to carry us through everything that living in a faulty body and a fallen world has to offer, so that we are not like others who have no hope. Praise God. We need an eternal perspective to give us courage to stand firm, to hold on just a little while longer. And we have that in our eternal hope in Jesus Christ. We are citizens of heaven. Christ is coming back for us. We will be transformed and live with Him forever. This must be our focus. We must live from that perspective, and it will give us the courage to live in a faulty body, in a fallen world, to age and know that we're not going to be here forever, but that's okay, because God's great plan to save us includes the transformation of these bodies into bodies that will never, ever age and never, ever get sick and never, ever die. Praise God. Amen. God is so wonderfully, amen, equipped to take us through this world. Amen. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. As one translator put it, you're complete in Him. And a paraphrase says, when you have Christ, you have everything. Praise God. When you have Jesus, you have everything. Glory be to God. I think of an article right now that appeared in the Chattanooga Times some years back. The article listed the world's richest individuals, and they're probably much richer now. Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, was listed as the richest, with a worth then of $12.9 billion. The article calculated his wealth based on a 40-hour work week. By the way, this is not the Microsoft corporation. Amen. This is Bill himself. Amen. If Bill Gates at that time worked a 40-hour week, he would make $923,076,292 per week. And he would make something like $38,000 plus per minute and $514 with every dollars for every beat of his heart. But that's only material wealth. Death is going to end. All of man's hopes and dreams that he has in this world, death cancels all of that. When someone asked Bill Gates about religion, what was his religious views? What was his religious hope? Or did he have anything in his life, any place for religion or relationship with God? And the existence of God. And this is what he asked. This is what he said. He said, just in terms of allocation of time, resources, religion is not a very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. Isn't it incredible when we're caught up in this world, we don't take time to think about the world to come. We don't take time to think about eternity and where we're going to spend it. Sometimes we live in the fog and of unbelief, and we believe when you're dead, you're done, and this is it, and so we don't even think about it because there's nothing to think about. But the scripture is very, very clear. It's amazing how just getting caught up in the momentum and the seeking of wealth and things. And it's not wrong to have ambition to do well on a job or to get a nice home or get a new car. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's the warning of Jesus once again. In speaking to Christians in particular this time, and it could be for anyone, though it broadens to anyone, beware, he said, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief, for as a snare it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Everyone is going to be caught in the twinkling of an eye. When the coming of the Lord happens, it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Just like the change that's going to occur in our mortal bodies, it will happen in the twinkling of an eye. As a snare, as a trap, suddenly clamping shut, it shall happen, and it's going to happen. And it won't matter about your wealth, your plans, your dreams, your ambitions. The only thing that will matter then is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? I'm going to submit to you in the radio audience today, the real rich people are listening to this broadcast right now, are not those who have accumulated all that the world can grant them, but those who are rich in faith, rich in eternal life, rich in eternal home in heaven, rich in peace and joy, rich in hope, the anticipation of Jesus' soon return. Friend of mine, Christ is coming soon. God will deliver the righteous, and he will punish the wicked. Do not envy the lost who seem to have it all in this world. Stand firm in your faith. It's almost over. We're too close to the coming of Jesus to turn back or look back or to look to this world. You know, the Bible said in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm not talking about the beauty of the earth. I'm talking about a system that Satan has influence and power to influence over. A system that is denying God and especially his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can't serve two masters. You can't love God and the world simultaneously. Amen. I love that song, and songs keep coming to my mind as I minister the Word that express the faith of the saints of just about a generation ago, that it was written, "Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back." You know, turning back begins with a look back. That's why Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife," in the New Testament. Again, a prophetic warning to every one of us that are followers of Jesus. Remember Lot's wife. She was delivered from the city of destruction just before Sodom and Gomorrah were consumed by the judgment of God. And she looked back. You know why she looked back at that city? Because though she physically left that city, her heart was still in that city. She loved that place with all of its sin. She loved it more than she loved the deliverance that had occurred. She was set free to go free, but she was judged right there as if she had been part of the city because she looked back. She longed to be back in the city that she loved. Friend of mine, we need a longing for a city, but we need to have a longing for a city above, not a city beneath. We need to long for the promises of God that await us more than we long for any of the temporal blessings of this passing world. Love not the world, the Scripture declares, nor the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world, it says, passes away. Literally is transient. It's in flux. It's in a state of change. Right now, the world is not going to continue as it is. Amen. But the kingdom of God is eternal, age without end. Death won't stop it. Death can't conquer it. A new and wonderful day is about to dawn for those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, because He's coming to take us home. Hallelujah. And then He's coming back with us, amen, to set up His kingdom right here on this planet, a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness will reign forevermore. Don't envy the lost who seem to have it all in this world. Come to Jesus Christ, amen, and have it all in the world to come. Praise God. Amen. Stand firm in your faith and hold on just a little while longer. Praise God. Listen, friend, if you don't know Jesus today as your Lord and your Savior, I encourage you, I challenge you, I pray for you right now that you will stop, just like you've stopped to listen to the end of this broadcast, that you will stop and think about where you are going to spend eternity. You're going to spend it somewhere. You're going to live forever somewhere. Make sure that heaven is going to be your home forever. And He is going to come for you when He comes. We want you to go to heaven with us. We want you to live forever with us. And God wants you there too. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He hung for 6 hours in agony on that cross, so He could forgive you. Repent of your sins right now, right where you are. Invite Jesus into your heart. Let Him seal you, mark you, brand you with the Holy Spirit. And He will take you home when He comes. Oh, we love you today. Christian, if there's ever a time you need to not look back, don't even think about it. Look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. We love you. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.